This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Back on the streets of Vegas, three feeling good here on a Thursday. Seat Williams, Ari's got the wheels of steel. Plenty to get to today. Of course, college football this weekend, some key games there. Thursday night football, we've got that coming up as well. Our man who's going to be in here co-hosting on Thursdays, each and every Thursday, he is with WagerTalk.com, Scott Spreitzer. What's up, brother?
Man, I'm doing well, and it was great to have the NFL back. I love baseball, but there's nothing like having 18 TVs going and watching NFL and doing what you can throughout the games if you find some live betting. But, yeah, I'm really pumped up. And not only that, but we got the great fight happening on Saturday night, which I can't wait. A really good matchup with Canelo taking on Triple G.
I really look forward to Thursdays having you live in the studio here as we get our game on. The thing is, and we'll get to the fight in a moment, also the key college football games, the Cleveland Indians.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
A couple of things I want to get to quickly. What happened in the stands last night at Fenway with those five kids that put out that banner, racism is as American as baseball. Fourth inning, stopped everything. They got ejected. When you first saw it, what did you get it right away, or did it take you time to understand what the meaning of it was?
Unfortunately, I didn't see it when it happened. I was driving around. And I was listening to the broadcast on Sirius. I was listening to the Red Sox broadcast. And then that's how I found out about it. I unfortunately did not see it when it happened. So I couldn't give that initial reaction because I had somebody painting the picture. Might have been Neverett. You know Tim Neverett. Might have been him on the broadcast that was painting the picture of what was going on. So, if you see it on TV, you have your own gut reaction right away. If you hear about it on radio, it's already painted for you. And so I didn't have that initial reaction. So I really couldn't answer you, unfortunately. I wasn't able to give my own thoughts when I first saw the banner because I'm hearing about it on radio, unfortunately.
I saw it on TV, so in other words, it was right away. I saw it, so I got it right away. The thing is, you want to wait and get the whole story. The kids later came out and put up, racism is not cool. That kind of thing went on and on. But I think along with the fact that they were they were white, but to me, the thing that really mattered is they were millennials. And the thing about millennials
to me...
Well,
that's the thing right now. If you disagree with a millennial, you're a racist, you're bad in some way or another. That's the only problem with millennials is that, and I got a daughter who's the next generation afterwards. She's 13. And I just see this... we should never forget. There should not be those flags, in my opinion, that that the South ran with in state capitals and things of that nature. There should not be that flag. I agree with all that, but I don't agree. And those guys, those kids, by the way, because I don't know their background. I don't know why, what made them say that.
They're with an organization.
And I was just going to say, though,
up against hate.
That if you are against anything a millennial says, you're branded something bad. That's the only, they don't want to debate, they don't want to talk, and I'm not saying they're all that way, and I'm not saying those kids that did that yesterday were that way, but man, it seems like every time somebody doesn't agree with the millennial, you're called something, instead of having an open debate.
See, my thing is this, what I gather from it was millennials are active, and I'm watching this, I'm like, you know what? Kind of reminded me of myself when I was their age, even younger. I was in my teens.
I was very political when I was
young. And that's
very liberal,
point.
Very political.
It's good to see that the younger people, the millennials, understand hatred and they're against it. And they're speaking out.
Sure.
They're not just sitting on their hands. That's what I took from it. They were white. They are white, rather, and they were millennials. I love the millennials. I love the fact that they're very outspoken.
Peacefully. I hate violence when it comes, unless you're defending yourself.
They were absolutely
no. They were fine.
With you.
I'm not talking about
that. Is what I'm saying.
When I was a kid, in my teens, I was very political.
Every
shred of music I listened to was political. I was a huge fan of the Clash, probably the most political band that there's ever been, and about as liberal as it gets. All that kind of stuff. And I was very active, and you know me, I used to get fired up over stuff.
Yeah, you still do.
And for whatever reason, though, I never got. Good thing, I never got violent. And was it John Lennon who said, two things he said that I still remember to this day. If you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you're no friend of mine, and I'm paraphrasing, using my own words there.
Right.
And he also basically said, we don't do this in a violent manner. And MLK, one of the greatest Americans to ever walk this earth, MLK Jr., You never saw him out there causing violence. So those kids didn't do it last night, thank God. Because I love active young people. Because you know what? Even if I might not agree with, like, some of the ways that they try to get their point across. And again, I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about people who get violent. It's good to see it happening because we never should forget about racism. We never should forget about the way some people treat other people and the way things were a couple hundred years ago, 50 years ago, 25 years ago, now
today,
in some circles. Yeah. We can't forget about that, and they won't let us. That's the good thing. They won't let us.
I appreciated what I saw there. With them being young, all five of them, they knew they were going to get ejected. They knew it was going to be a big-time blow-up. But they did it because they believed in that cause. Ari's a millennial. You want to chime in here?
Yeah, I'm on the cusp. You know, it's just a defining thing. I don't care what I'm considered. But my one thing, I love everything you said except one thing. I feel, as someone younger, and really just someone that could relate to the younger guys, I'm always around younger people, is that I feel like the older generation will not actually listen to them. So I actually, I don't disagree. I think both sides kind of, they're stubborn, but
seems,
you know what?
That seems to be just one thing I noticed. There's like no trying to understand. It's, these kids, they're just dumb millennials. They are irresponsible, et cetera.
You're 100% right, because when we were kids, we thought the adults were.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everybody thinks that when they're younger.
I despised adults when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So
you were a rebel.
You're right.
Well, and the thing, I was always taught this. Seat knows, you know, my family, and it's multicultural. It's crazy. And I'll just, I hope I'm not running too much time on this.
No, this is okay.
You know, like my wife is from mainland China. My brother Mark, who you've met a bunch of times over the course of the years we've known each other, is married to a girl from the Philippines, a woman from the Philippines. My brother Skip, who's our oldest brother of the three of us, he's been married for over 40 years now to an African, Italian, Spanish woman who grew up and knows Roberto Duran in Panama, and all of our kids are all mixed. Boy, do we have some good parties.
And
the food's great. So we got all this going on, and it's a very, and the cool thing is my parents, for being their age, you know, I was born in 66. My dad was in his early 40s. My mom was almost 40. I was the latecomer. I was the accident. And so the thing is that they came from a time, born in the 1920s, both white, both German Americans. And so, but we never had to deal with hearing a bunch of crap at our house about you shouldn't date this or your best friend shouldn't be this person, you know, and that's the way it was. I got lucky, man. We got lucky. So I was very liberal. When I voted Republican in 2004, and I had never done so in my life because I, you know, no, I don't want to debate anybody on whether they were good or not. It was just my opinion at the time. I felt disenfranchised by the Kerry Edwards 2004 ticket. I felt like I wasn't being represented, okay, and I'd been a Democrat all my life. So I voted Republican. My dad wouldn't speak to me for 2 weeks because I didn't vote Democrat. So I've got this family who's multicultural. I just don't want to see the violent part of it. And I was a huge, again, liberal growing up. And like I said, all my music was political. Every once in a while, I'd let myself be entertained by pop. You know, pop music. But other than that, I was way too serious. So what I'm doing right now with my kid, I saw this statement that said we all need to talk to our kids about hate and racism. And I said, you know what we got to do? Let's start first by doing it by example. You know, we don't say in our house, hey, one of my best friends is that black guy, Seed Williams. We say, hey, one of my best friends is Seed Williams.
Right.
You know, we don't say, hey, my neighbor two doors down is black, or he's nice for, you know what I mean? You just don't do, I know this is going to probably be weird for some people to hear this on air, but I'm as open as it gets. We don't say those things in our house.
I know that about you.
So my daughter doesn't grow up hearing that. She just hears, hey, next door neighbor's name is John. He's a great guy. You know, that's what she hears. And so it's a situation where lead by example. You don't have to talk if you lead by example to your young kids, unless your kids come to you and say, hey, man, I see this going on. You know, what's going on, Dad? Then you break it down and you explain to them. At the same time, you don't forget to teach them the way this country, you know, has been. Thank God America kind of has woke up with good leaders like MLK Jr. because America is instrumental in ending slavery. It was the worst, one of the worst, with England and parts of Europe, and now it became one of the better ones. And if it wasn't for America, who knows? Maybe slavery still rampant around the world, or at least was longer. But when people say, and my mom taught me this, long time ago when I was a kid, Remember the good old days? My mom used to say to me, and she taught me, she goes, it wasn't the good old days for everybody in this country, so be careful how you say remember the good old days.
Pretty cool.
You know, and I had that upbringing. It was pretty cool upbringing, and I'm not quite as liberal as I used to be because I'm strictly against violence, absolute strictly against violence, and you lose my respect and my attention as soon as you start destroying things.
Yeah. Good parenting. Scott Spritzer, WagerTalk.com, each and every Thursday live in studio. We'll touch on this before we get to the games. Jemele Hill. What she tweeted out about the president, your thoughts?
Just why? Why did she do it? You know, and who knows? I don't know Donald Trump personally. He may or may not be a racist. I don't know. All I know is that I don't really get a chance to watch that show. I'm always doing radio.
It's on right now.
A couple of times I have seen it. I haven't heard any white bashing or whatever you want to call it, or racism from the two hosts. I keep reading that it's not her first indiscretion or whatever you want
She's
to call
been
it.
There before.
That's what I've heard, but I haven't watched it enough to know that. So my feeling is that I just want to ask her, why? Why did you feel compelled? You know, it's a sports show. Why do you feel compelled to do that?
And, well, it wasn't during the show. She tweeted it. However, my thing is this. You can feel that way all you want. And I have my own feelings about the president. You do. Everyone mm-hmm. does out there. And we kind of already know Donald Trump as we know him to appear to be. So I don't understand why she tweeted it anyway. I mean, you're a public figure, okay? You work for ESPN and Disney. This could get you in trouble. We're fired. If it's a dude, you're probably gone. She's extremely good and extremely intelligent. I can't even imagine why.
How old is she? That might have something to do with it.
I think she's in her 30s. I'm going to guess maybe close to 40. That's a guess.
My filter is much better now. My self-filter on things you say is much better now than it was when I was 30. Uh-huh. You know, I would just shout anything I thought at 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
And especially when you feel you're right, you want to get your opinion out there. And so maybe her filter hasn't quite caught up where it should be. But when you think about like Curt Schilling getting fired for some of the things he said, ultra-conservative who got fired, you know, I just don't understand in that position why she would feel the need to tweet that out.
Right, there you go.
I mean, feel it, but tweet it out.
You don't hit send. You could feel whatever you want to feel or believe this way, but you're talking about the president of the United States, all right? He is running our country. You don't have to even support him, okay, if you don't want to. But if you go up on social media and do that, it's not like you can erase it take it back.
Do you have a problem if she gets fired? Even though it doesn't look like she will be.
It's a fireable offense.
Yeah, would you have a problem?
No.
Yeah, neither would I.
I wouldn't. I mean, because, you know, if you're gonna be working for Disney,
you're ESPN, hurting the corporation. It's a business.
Even though it's not their beliefs or feelings, she's really good, though.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. All right, thought we'd touch on those. Scott Spritzer, WagerTalk.com. Now let's get down to the good business.
That was fun. It's always fun to talk to you about serious stuff because we basically have a lot of the same beliefs. We approach them differently sometimes, but we basically have the same beliefs. And I love talking to you about this kind of stuff.
And the thing is, if we have differences, we get to it. We get through it. Boom.
Ever
break.
Since
it's
you
open.
Punched me in like 1989, it was like a left cross.
It was a chair.
Oh, it was a chair. That's right. Followed by a couple of kicks. And you kick like a girl. I'm just kidding. Not like a good girl. Stuff. Wait, I got to take
Easy.
That back.
No, say a little girl.
There you go.
Just undid your whole segment.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's get busy tonight's
girls
game.
Girls lining up waiting to kick my butt when I leave here.
Little girl's going to be outside. The Texans and Bengals. The Texans, looks like Deshaun Watson is going to get the start tonight. We'll see what happens there with that. The Bengals, did that come out with a 3 and now a 6 and 38?
Yeah. Part of that has to do with, you know, all these injuries for Houston. Also, Deshaun Watson being a rookie, getting his first start. So it did open 3. There was some natural movement. Betting caused it to move a little bit. And then, of course, with all the injuries and everything else, I think Deshaun Watson's going to be a player. No doubt in my mind. But and he gives them a better shot because he's mobile and Savage really isn't. And those offensive tackles, see, they stink. I'll give you a stat, a couple of stats here. First of all, you know Andy Dalton had that 0.7 QBR last week with his awful. 5 interceptions. His offensive line, his tackles are absolutely pathetic. I went back and we looked at how NFL teams do off a shutout loss. Cincinnati got shut out last week. It's basically 50-50 overall in general. If a team is at home for the second straight week and the previous week they got shut out, They're 23-10 against the spread the next time out, going back over 30 years. Doesn't happen a lot. But, and you might see that out there on Twitter, and the reason I bring it up is because I want people to know when you break it down, it's not just 23-10, okay, great, let's go play Cincinnati. It's 50-50 when they're favored, and it's about a 75% winner against the spread when they're an underdog. Well, Cincinnati's a favorite. They fall into that 50-50 column. So if you do see this incredible number about how teams do in their spot, just remember they don't do their 50-50 as chalk, and that's where Cincinnati is now. But in this particular game, seed, I just had to pass. I really don't even have a real strong opinion on the game. The offensive tackles for both teams right now are just pathetic. They're playing bad football. You know, maybe Adam Jones, right? He's going to play tonight. Now we're finding out, right? And so he's going to match up against DeAndre Hopkins of Houston. And the one thing that Deshaun Watson got into a habit of last week that he's got to steer away from, and he's young, so you got to wonder if he's going to be able to, is he threw 10 of his 23 passes to DeAndre Hopkins, targeting DeAndre Hopkins. If Cincinnati's secondary is healthy tonight, they're going to look for that, and he's going to have to start finding somebody else on the field. But I think Watson's going to be – I love this kid. I think he's going to be a player. There's one other quarterback who I liked a little bit more coming out of college in recent years, who a few people like Marco D'Angelo, when we used to do shows together, and still do, but he used to say to me all the time, I had a man crush on. When Russell Wilson was at Wisconsin, I said, this guy's going to win championships in the NFL. I'm almost there with Deshaun Watson. Not quite,
wow.
But I'm getting there to where I think if he gets the right offense, I don't think Bill O'Brien, he drives me nuts. Way too much complication on that offense. Simplify it. Not this year, not next year. It might not happen as quick for him because obviously Russell Wilson had a better team and a better coach around him. But I think he's going to be a player, seed. I really think he's going to be a guy we're talking about for a long time.
I agree. Offensive line's not going to help him this year, but down the line, perhaps.
Get some better play calling on offense, too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on. A couple of key games coming up here in week two also with the Eagles in Kansas City. Kansas City's number 5.5, 47. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith, I thought it was pretty interesting what he said to the depth about his future. He says, hey, next year, I'm gone. I'm somewhere else. You know, Pat Mahomes, they traded up to get him. It's been great. He went on and on talking about how, you know, he's going to be somewhere else. This is my final year in Kansas City. You like or not?
I can't jump on the bandwagon right now because everybody's hyping him up. The only thing I like about them is, do I like what he said about he's going to be gone? Yeah, I think he's right.
But you know, are you okay Mahomes. With him opening up?
Oh, am I okay
even
with
the fan
that?
Base
I'm sorry,
and all
missed,
that?
Yeah.
Think about the fan base. Now,
I would have done it if I was him.
I think I would have held back, too.
Yeah, I would have kept that quiet. And
even though you know it's reality, I mean, you know, your fan base is loving you.
Probably feel it's reality also because we've heard about it a little bit in preseason.
Right?
I don't think he should have come out, especially after the big win over New England and everybody's psyched up in KC. Everybody's going crazy. By the way, the betting on this game, I was talking to Matt Holder earlier today at CGT Books. All the action's on KC in this game. He said it's been small, though. A lot of $100, $200, $300 bets. He goes, but it's all on Kansas City in this particular game. Their odds to win the Super Bowl, 32-1 before kickoff against New England, 15-1 now. That's how much the public has jumped on the KC bandwagon. 13-4 last 17 games. If you look at the stats, they should be like 9-8 in those 17 games. I can't back them this week. I don't know if I'm going to jump on Philly seat, but I can't back KC here.
Patriots, Saints, Pats, of course, losing that opener in Foxborough to Kansas City, who we just spoke of. The Saints losing their opener against Minnesota, 6-56, if you have a different number. And your thoughts about now they have another receiver, it looks like, who's going to be injured.
But I just got to know if Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, if one of their relatives is the NFL schedule maker. New England played last Thursday. They're not playing until Sunday. The Saints played on Monday night on the road. And now they got how can you make a schedule like that? How can you give a team 3 or 4 days extra time to prep on a Monday night game? So I can't back the Saints here. Listen, the Pats are going to be the Pats, I think, in a couple more weeks, like maybe by week 5. They got a lot of new faces on that team, especially on defense. They all got to come together on the same side. Right now, the Patriots, according to CGT Books, are one-sided action in this particular game. And again, when you watch New England, boy, they just got chewed up by Minnesota's offensive line on Monday night. Patriots are going to be a little ticked off coming into this game. I still don't think they're going to be at their best until we get to week 4 or 5, though.
Steelers struggled at Cleveland. They normally do. The Vikings, as we mentioned, got their victory. One last thing, Adrian Peterson. with the Saints. Your thoughts? It looked like he was saying something to Sean Payton. Later, he said that wasn't the case.
And Payton's basically said the same thing. He goes, it wasn't an argument. It looked weird.
It didn't look good.
AP's face did not look like he was giving some friendly, let's run up the middle information. And Payton, the way he looked back at him at one point, looked a little odd
looked
also.
Looked like he was about to spank his kid again.
Well, you know what? I saw a picture and I saw something that somebody tweeted out that wasn't good, but it had to do with the kid and a switch and all that kind of stuff. But you brought it up, man. You do this to me all the time. There's that filter again being challenged, that self-editing filter. But but as far as this game is concerned, listen, first of all, about AP real quick with New Orleans, he doesn't fit that system. And I remember doing the show on Monday afternoon with Dave Kokin and with Chuck Esposito, and Dave asked me, what do you think about AP tonight? And I go, he doesn't fit the system. I think he doesn't matter. He just doesn't matter. It had to be tough on him getting 6 or 7 touches on the football is all. And then being looking at his team across the field from him, doing things offensively they could never do when he was there.
And you know, Sam Bradford throwing downfield.
That had to be tough to take.
Everything about it. All right, Steelers, Vikings.
Yeah, you know what? I just about an hour before I joined you here, there was a dime bet placed on the Vikings on the money line at +220 at CGT. It's been all Minnesota money. 3 times more sharp action on Minnesota. 2.5 times more public action over the counter on Minnesota. Listen, the Steelers are a little rusty on offense. Bell, Bryant, those guys got to get a couple of games under their belt. But again, all this action coming out of Minnesota, I keep wondering if this is overreaction to week 1. That offensive line looked great on Monday night, but they've got a much bigger challenge this week against Pittsburgh. So again, it's all one-sided betting on Minnesota. I don't want to make people think that the sharps are who you follow, that you go against the public, because again, last week we saw the public do pretty well. And from the 1st of October last year till the end of the regular season, it was nightmare for the books with public betting. So it's not like just because you say the sharps are this side, the public's this side, that you run with the sharps. And right. Don't also forget that if the sharps jumped on, let's say, a +7, when it's +6, you missed why the sharps drove it down to 6. You missed that 7. And so all of a sudden, who cares if it's a sharp side? Sharps like that it's 7. It's now 6. You lost. You missed out. So I tell people all the time, don't get too caught up in that kind of stuff.
There you go. Scott Spritzer, WagerTalk.com here on Game On. Dolphins, Chargers, StubHub, opener for the Chargers at home. They had a chance perhaps to get to overtime, got beat on the coach's call out, then the block field goal. Dolphins, of course, Irma got in the way, unfortunately. So this right here is their season opener.
18 games without a game for Miami since August 31st, since that preseason game.
Numbers on that game?
Yeah, currently you've got the Chargers laying 4. In this one, in all the sharp and all the public action, again, on one side, that being the Miami Dolphins. And the money line betting is on Miami, too, in this particular game. I wanted to ask you, because you follow the Chargers as when they were in San Diego, you were there. You were at the practice fields, all that kind of stuff. Probably following them, you know, in person more than anybody else on radio in Las Vegas. Any handicappers or bettors in Las Vegas. They disappointed me. I ended up pushing with the Chargers on Monday night. I thought, by the way, you mentioned that blocked field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Great special teams coaching. I heard afterwards that the special team coaches for the Broncos had stated that he scouted what Koo had done in college, the kicker, and said he had a low trajectory over the middle of the line. So he makes the first one, but they call the timeout. For the second one, they rush the A-gap, and they put a couple of big mitts right there up the A-gap, right in the middle of the line. His low trajectory got blocked, and Denver wins the game. So great coaching by the special teams coaches for Denver. But I was going to ask you what you thought about this, because I'm having a rough time dealing with how Miami's going to perform with 18 days off. They've been in SoCal for most of those 18 days with the hurricane moving to South Florida. So, boy, it's just tough. Soccer stadium, I guess I'd rather play in a 26,000-capacity soccer stadium than in a 25,000-filled Coliseum like the Rams did last week. At least it'll be a little bit more comfortable, I think, for the Chargers out there. But I'm a Charger fan before the season began, thinking they had a chance for 9 wins, maybe 10. Obviously disappointed with Monday night, but I don't know where to judge this game, Seat.
Yeah, I agree. I thought for sure they were going to compete because their front team, as far as special teams, defense, offense, could play with anyone. The question is their depth. What's going to happen when players start going down? Their offensive line has been mauled each and every year the last 5 years, mm-hmm. more injuries in their interior offensive line than any other team in the NFL the last handful of seasons. So I think they'll win this ball game, though. I'm probably going to bet them, not just because I'm a Charger fan, but I think this right here is a spot where for the Dolphins, they really haven't had the action. Sure, they have the film, but at the same time, the Chargers go back home. I think they're a very good team. They're first team on all three teams, and I think they're good enough to win this ball game. And I think they will, and I think they'll cover.
Do you? Okay, yeah. So laying four with San Diego. Yep. I almost said it. With the L.A. Chargers, I almost said San Diego.
Okay, a couple other games we'll look at here. Key games we're going over. We got to do the Raiders. Big sure. number, though. Are you looking at almost a two-touchdown favorite with the Oakland Raiders, 13.5 and 43.5 with the Jets? By the way, that Charger total is 45.
Here we go again with the Raiders. Okay, I'm talking to some of the sportsbook guys earlier today. Last week against Tennessee, the Raiders got 90% of the public tickets in Nevada sportsbooks at CGT Sportsbooks. 90% of the public tickets. The Sharps were 90% on Tennessee. So there's an example of the biggest gap I've seen between Joes and pros that I can remember, but yet the Joes won and the pros lost with Oakland winning that game. And here we go again. Six times so far, six times public action on the Raiders, nine times sharp action, pro action, on the New York Jets plus the 14. So again, a big Joes versus pros. Listen, I had the Jets last week. I was lucky enough to get 9 and I pushed. It had dropped down overnight Saturday night into Sunday. That dropped all the way down to 7 against the Buffalo Bills. If they can punch one of those, you know, field goals that they kicked into the end zone, they might have won that game against Buffalo outright. I can't back them right now here. This is, it's 14 seed. Hmm. It's 13.5, 14. But I look at the fact that they've got nothing at all on offense. And the one thing we know about the Oakland Raiders, maybe their defense, you know, kind of lets them down a little bit last year and as we move forward this year. But that offense is nasty. And if they score 30 points, 28 points, can the Jets score 14 to 16 to stay in it? I'm not so sure. You know, they look like they're a field goal team.
Yeah. They have nothing offensively. You're
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
Oakland's at home. They're opening up their season at home in the black hole. And I think they're going to just destroy them.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to bet it. I mean, there's no way you can put a two-touchdown favorite
in the NFL.
No way. Pros. Two more games. I'll put them here together. Okay. Atlanta, 354 against the Packers. Also, Beckham, it looks like he might be out. He says 6 to 8 weeks. Giants, 3 and 43.5 against the Lions.
Yeah, I'll start with the second one first. Mm-hmm. It was a Monday night game, right? The Giants and the Lions. We saw it again last week, man. I don't know how much to judge Eli Manning's decline or erosion due to age because he has no offensive line to open up a running game so defenses don't have to play an honest brand of football. That's what they were supposed to work on in the offseason. They looked bad in preseason when the starters were on the field on offense. They looked bad against the Dallas Cowboys. They cannot run the football. Every time Eli drops back and he's not fleet of foot, he's got guys chasing him around in the pocket. So it's tough to back the New York Giants. And without ODB, I think he's more important to the Giants than, let's say, Ezekiel Elliott is to the Dallas Cowboys. So the other game that you mentioned, Green Bay and Atlanta, 9 times more public money on Green Bay against the spread, 7 times more sharp money on the Atlanta Falcons against the spread. The Falcons didn't look so hot. We had Chicago last week. Falcons could have lost that football game. Give them credit, the ultimate Super Bowl hangover after the way they lost that particular game. But they open up the new joint. They open up the new stadium. I saw Ryan's pretty psyched up for this one. Atlanta won in the regular season against Green Bay last year. They won in the playoffs. They scored 75 points in those two games combined against Green Bay. Ryan threw for nearly 700 yards in those games. And let's not forget that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they're 1-17 straight up on the road when they give up more than 25 points. If Atlanta scores 4 touchdowns in this one, they win this game. I'm not sure that Green Bay can stop them here.
College football with Scott Spritzer. Let's see what happens here in this one. Clemson, boy, this right here is, we're looking forward to this one, aren't we?
Yeah, see, I'm so mad at myself. Last year in August, I do a weekly show on Mad Dog Radio. He goes, give me an outsider to win the Heisman. I go, well, Lamar Jackson's at 100-1. I kind of like him, and I said it on radio. I didn't bet it. I kicked myself. He wins the Heisman Trophy. Listen, I'm not crazy about their defense. I'm not crazy about a lot of the guys they have around him, but he's freaking believable.
Sick.
It's sick, absolutely. Yeah. And I do like them here. I'll make it quick. I think they get past Clemson. I hate saying revenge. It's an overhyped term in our business, but I think they get the revenge here. Remember last year, 42-36. Yeah. There's no Deshaun Watson to help put up those 42 points this year. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson and Louisville in this
one. You know, with Louisville in that game last year, the thing I really that I marveled at more than anything else about the loss, Lamar Jackson, he was pissed.
Yep.
Afterwards, the camera was on him.
Remember talking about
it? He's leaving the stadium and he's
he hated
stuff.
It.
Yep. He kicked a trash can. He threw his helmet.
Yep.
He was like, okay. I mean, the dude is a freshman and he's that emotional about losing the biggest game of the year. Yep. But he's
don't
a kid.
Don't you love that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, ooh. I'm like, there's something special here. Not just his play, but his
leadership,
makeup. Yeah.
His makeup. Oh, the ultimate dude. Competitor. This to him is he's not brash in the sense of Baker Mayfield, you know, going into
and
Ohio State.
I like
State.
Him too, though.
I do. I have no problem with what he did in midfield awesome. Afterwards, man.
Forget the apology, man. Come on.
I was laughing with him, not at him. I thought it was great. Uh-huh. Lamar seems to be a little bit quieter in his approach. And those deadly assassins, man, those quiet assassins, you don't want to play against, I think, this week in this game.
One more thing about Baker Mayfield. He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers in this way. In the pocket, his mobility. He knows where everybody is. If you watch
guy,
him,
isn't he? Yeah.
Watch him when they show the quarterback on a replay. He'll slide to the right. Guy goes by, steps up, can't throw into the ball. You know, throw into his throw, step into his throw. So he'll throw off his back. He does a lot of stuff
so
like
cool.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and he's so cool.
Yep.
That's a great analysis. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
And if people like it, I'm going to take full credit.
It's
if
okay.
they don't like it, I'll say I got that from Steve Williams. That's a great
watch
analogy.
Watch him on replays and watch what you see. Any other college games you want to knock out?
I took the points 14 with Northern Illinois for the second time in 3 weeks. I'm going to go against my homeboy Nebraska Cornhuskers. I took Arkansas State in week one and we cashed. Left last week's game alone. They're a mess on defense. They switched to a 34 this year, and it takes about half a season, the general consensus around college football, to get that 34 to where everybody's on the same page because they didn't recruit those kids for a 34 anyway. And so I think Northern Illinois could hang that big number, a couple of touchdowns there. That's one that I jumped on. Also, I'm trying to think of the other one one of the others that I was on. I'm on Kansas State this week. It's not my top play. They're laying about 3.5-4 at Vanderbilt. I think Kansas State's got a shot to win the Big 12 seat. But I hope they're as good as I think they are, because if they are, they go in and beat
that
Vanderbilt.
Good, huh?
I think they got a shot to win the Big 12. I'm tempted, because of the number right now, and I haven't pulled the trigger yet, to take Texas plus the points over USC. But it's gone from 17.5 down to 15.5. I think that's a situation where everybody's kind of forgotten about Texas because of opening game against Maryland. Listen, I love USC. That might be the best team in college football. But that's a whole lot of points. So, for sure, I am on Northern Illinois. I'm on Kansas State. Haven't made the move yet on Texas. Got about 11 games. That's why I'm trying to remember who they are right here.
In this corner, he weighed in at 300 pounds. Scott.
Butterbean.
Triple G Canelo. We have to give a quickie
pounds.
On this. I know time is almost up, but coming up this weekend, fun fight. It's going to be action. It will be nonstop. You have a counterpuncher in Canelo Alvarez who will lay on the ropes and a machine, just an assassin in Triple G who wants you on the ropes. Canelo's added that weight. I don't know if that's going to help him or hurt him. This fight will be action nonstop until it ends, whether it's a knockout, a TKO, or a decision. But you're not going to be disappointed in this one.
Saw one book this morning overnight. Raised the price on Triple G by 22 cents just overnight from like $1.45 to $1.67. I'm trying to figure out, see, and you've been around the fight game since the day I met you. I mean, close as anybody. We know about the weight thing, the weight gain of Canelo. He's not just fat. There's no fat there. He's bulked up.
Right.
And Freddie Roach, you saw it too, was talking about how it's more of a new school approach than the old school approach. He said he would have had him bulk up that much because he's afraid he's going to compromise his speed a little bit. But the question I was going to throw at you is, what do you take from the Kell Brooks fight for Triple G and the Daniel Jacobs fight for Golovkin? Because he wasn't overly impressive in either fight. Those are two of his most recent fights. And Daniel Jacobs' corner, listen, I know they got a vested interest in Jacobs, but they came out and said what a lot of people thought. They thought Jacobs won that fight, some of those people. And even Jacobs said the only reason they gave him a decision to Triple G is to set up this particular
right.
fight. I don't know if I'd go that far. But there looks like there is a little bit of erosion to Triple G, isn't there?
37.
Yeah.
37. But he can punish you still. This fight he'll be up for. We'll see his best game in this particular fight. Canelo, until you get hit by somebody that can hit as hard as Triple G, then we'll see what's up with Canelo. Because he's been punishing guys. I mean, the Cotto fight, man, he was trying to just knock him into next year.
Isn't that the bad approach?
What's
for,
that?
For Canelo to try to get in. Obviously it is. Uh-huh. To try to get into a knockout opportunity, he'll get beat.
To me, they both have really good jabs. Uh-huh. Maybe the jabber wins the fight, but in the end, power blows are going to be enormous. I think there's going to be at least 2-3 knockdowns in this fight. Whoever has the will is going to win the fight.
Would you agree with this? Do you think if it goes deep into the fight and maybe to the cards, Canelo has the better chance of winning? If it's an earlier, you know, stoppage to the fight, it's probably Triple G that does the stopping.
I would say so because, look, we're humans, influence, the crowd, mm-hmm. Mexican Independence Day coming up this weekend. The crowd's going to be pro Canelo because of the Hispanics that'll be here. The judges, I don't think, are going to be influenced by it. But then again, we're human. Yeah, I think if it goes to the scorecard, he has a better chance of winning unless he gets in and hurts Triple G and gets him out of there.
Floyd said Canelo's going to win by knockout, Floyd Mayweather.
Wow.
He goes, the body shots are going to be too much for Triple G. And I forget how it was put. It said, you know, I think I know a thing or two about boxing. I have like 50 examples on my record, on my card, you know. And he came out and he said, he goes, Canelo by knockout. And you can YouTube that.
Surprised.
You'll find it. He said Canelo by knockout.
Yeah, either way, it could go by knockout. What are you knocking out this coming weekend?
Anything? Oh, boy, 11 college football plays in some fashion or another. We'll probably have a good 4 or 5 in the NFL by the time the card kicks off. And just looking forward to a whole bunch of weekend radio seat and winning some football games. We had a nice week last week in college. I went 0-2-2 in the NFL. We got to right that ship in a hurry in the NFL.
Let the folks know where they can find you.
Scott Wins on Twitter, and the website is wagertalk.com.
All right, we'll step away. Lighters up. Scott Spreitzer. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
You look like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:41 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. This one pretty cool, and it happened a few weeks back, but it's worth the mention today. Now, Raiders. It's what the Raiders have done here locally. The Raiders actually, across every high school, they went to, I believe, every high school, and they gave up these cards. And on one side, it had the Raider logo with Raider Joe, the patch and all that, silver and black, of course. And on the back of it, it had the Raiders are coming. And it actually was all personalized to each and every school. And they passed them out to all the people that came into those schools at their home games of football games. Now, we're talking 3 to 4 years out before the Raiders come in here to play. They may be at Sam Boyd in 3 years, then eventually at their stadium. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, who was their PR person? It's somebody that really gets it. You're 4 years out, and they also went on to say on there they are happy to support high school football and to sponsor things of that nature. They're into our kids already. They're already promoting to the younger generation. They're promoting, as you know, to several other places, to UNLV, you name it. The Raiders are already in Vegas. They're already our team, and they haven't even arrived, and they're 4 years out, maybe 3 years out. But the signs they left at these high school games that these people have still as souvenirs is long last, long living. And by the time these kids get out of high school, even if you're a freshman and you'll be going to college, you'll be thinking to yourself, man, the silver and black, they're pretty dope.
Yeah, I'm a fan automatically. Can't call me fair weather. I'm down for the Raiders, for the Las Vegas Raiders. That's really cool, though. The community is what it's all about. I think that's overlooked about Vegas, so that's really cool. They get that. We have, like, you know, a really strong community. We're into that kind of thing, so get the kids involved. I love it. All right, here's another feel-good one. In Florida, a police officer off duty encountered a nun in full uniform, like in her whole nun's robe and all that, clearing away debris from Hurricane Irma with a chainsaw. I put the video on, but it's really just literally just the noise of the chainsaw. But I watched it. She's legitimately just, you know, cleaning up messes, chopping stuff down, breaking it down so they can move.
No.
Her name is Sister Margaret Ann. She's the local Catholic school. She said she took matters into her own hands to fulfill a principle she teaches her students, quote, do what you can to help. So, and it does have to be said, you know, her intentions were good. She probably shouldn't have been wearing such loose clothing, but she's all right. So I guess the Miami Archdiocese of Miami announced Tuesday that all Catholic schools in its jurisdiction will remain closed until further notice. So she figured what better way to use her spare time than to do that. So way to step up, sister.
That is pretty dope. You know, did she have a ruler up under her sweater in case somebody got a line? She could crack them knuckles.
She had a chainsaw. What do you need a ruler for?
Good point. Let's go down to Jacksonville, where, of course, Hurricane Irma, so much destruction there. But how about these two dopes? Florida police have arrested two men for allegedly trying to steal a gigantic power pole in wake of the hurricane. Now, I'm going to tell you, the photo of this power pole on top of their SUV, if it was laying on the ground, it'd be the length of three vehicles. It's on top of their SUV, and they're trying to get away with it. Now, Blake Lee Walter, 42, and Victor Walter Appeller, 46, are now faced with the charge of grand theft after they were reportedly caught stopping. This thing is worth $2,500, all right? It's on top of their SUV. This happened earlier today. Now, one of the guys told the cops, hey, it was on the road and we were trying to get it out the way so nobody would run over it. No, they tried to jack it. Here's how we know why. Because one of the dudes had already been over to places where they have scrap metal. And they've been selling scrap metal to this place. So this right here would have set them up for a lifetime supply of money in their pockets if they could have got it to the scrap shop. This thing, if you see it, it's the size of two buses. If you're looking at it in length. And they got popped with it. They're in handcuffs. They're on the curb. They're a couple of dopes.
Yeah. I like the double entendre, by the way. So you're talking about, like, when you're driving on the street, the giant poles that have, you know.
Yeah, the poles, like, let's say, for example, a power pole, a light pole, something of that nature.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's like a good three lengths in cars if you lay it out on the ground.
I was going to ask why, but then you said with scrap metal. That is pretty interesting. Well, they got caught. All right, next, I have a story. Do you remember Martin Shkreli? I don't really even care if I mispronounce his name. He's the scumbag pharmaceutical CEO who raised the cost of HIV meds. I think this was about last year.
I do.
From $1,350 a pill to $750 per pill. It's a $5,000% increase, in case you were wondering. So no one's a big fan of him, but he recently as of today, actually, he's going to jail. He's been found guilty of two counts of securities fraud and one count of conspiracy to commit securities fraud. It was something like 11 million. It's like a Ponzi scheme, basically. He's defrauding investors, taking funds close to 11 million. And he also was violated his bail agreement. He posted a threat to Hillary Clinton on Facebook saying he would give you $5,000 for a lock of her hair. And because he just can't help himself, he has to run his mouth. And so that pretty much cost him, from what I understand. That's what the violation cost him everything. And then they eventually found him guilty after 5 days deliberating. This guy is this is another notable thing he did is, like, the Wu-Tang Clan. I don't know if you remember this. They released one record, literally just one copy of it. And, you know, they were going to do something special with it. They put it up for sale for $2 million, and this guy bought it. And so now I don't even know. I think he's just going to lose it anyway. So that part alone and everything else is dope. I don't, you know, wish anyone harm, but this guy deserves to be in jail, I feel.
A dope is going to get locked up sometime, right?
Yeah.
We talked about Deshaun Watson going to start at quarterback tonight. Very relevant, right, for the Texans. Well, his birthday was recently. And Ari, you're familiar with this person, Mia Khalifa. I'm quite sure she's in your phone, and probably you probably have videotapes of her from way back when she did her work on the big stage.
Is that right?
And former porn star. You know who she is, right?
I'm familiar. Yeah, I work in radio, so I try to be up on things.
Hey,
you know?
Working in radio has nothing to do with looking at a porn star.
Okay, all jokes aside, hey, nothing against porn. She has made headlines numerous times with sports-related stuff, so even if for some reason I did not like porn, which I'm going on record saying I do.
You love it.
Sure, why not? But yeah, she's notable. The controversy, I guess, is she is Muslim, if I'm not mistaken, and she performed a video with, like, wearing a hijab, which is extremely sacred, religious. I mean, it's
she was
the equivalent probably
performing.
Of, like, doing something with a Bible. Yeah,
performing. Gee.
So that got a lot of controversy and death threats and stuff, but that propelled her career. She's, you know, like a household name.
She's hanging out with Deshaun Watson on his birthday in his house playing basketball and looking a little naughty. So, look, she posted up this video of them together. I don't know if he knew she was going to, but then again, you should know what she's going to do with it, right?
Yep.
So, Deshaun Watson, be careful, man, because this particular girl that Ari's somewhat got a crush on,
come on,
I don't know if she's that dope. And looking at her today, maybe she was okay back when she worked, but
I like natural women. I'll just say that and move on. Last but not least, this is actually an old story I found from 1988, but it's notable. It's really dope. In 1988, BBC program called That's Life, they had a guy named Sir Nicholas Winton on. They call him the British Schindler. He saved 669 children from certain death from Nazi camps way back when. So he comes on the show just from what he understands is just, you know, an audience member. And then they pretty much set him up for almost all the audience members were actually the people he saved grown up, and he had no idea. And he also didn't brag about it. The only reason this even happened was because his wife years later found in the attic like a scrapbook that he had with all the information, all the names of the people he saved and whatnot. So the show producers reached out and got all these people on. It was really cool to see the guy. I had no idea. He's an older guy just sitting there. And then they said, hey, do we have anyone in the room that was saved by Mr. Winton, Sir Nicholas Winton? And then people started standing up, like 30 or 40 people in the whole audience. Guy started crying and everything, so I thought that was really dope.
It is pretty dope. By the way, I got confirmation about the Tyson tickets, which is pretty dope. So we'll be doing some of that a bit later. We're going to step away and come back with the final go-round after this.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
Final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Just want to give you an update, a little community action. Tryouts for the Junior Summer League coming up September 21st. Girls 6th, 7th, 8th grade on the 22nd. Boys 7th and 8th graders. Information, let's see. Try to get you the place to call for the coaches and all the other good stuff. Give a try to the Summer League at 702-592-2230. That's 702-592-2230. If you want to get your kids with tryouts for the NBA Summer League coming up, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I had a chance to MC it over at Tarkanian's gym just a couple of months ago, and it was pretty awesome. So kids were really having a blast. There were no shenanigans. Nobody got out of line. And kids are just in there balling because they are ballers. Nice. All right, that'll wrap it up for this one. Good times. Tomorrow, George Cole from Aliante, Cannery North, is going to be our special guest. He'll hit up the games, also some fight props, things of that nature. Thanks to WagerTalk.com, Scott Spritzer. For Ari, the porn star guy, I'm Seat Williams. Folk, keep your chin stuck low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. Game on.